Chapter 4. The TV Documentary. A few days later, Sarah walked into Mr. Young's classroom during the lunch break. Mr. Young was sitting at his desk, working on his lesson plans.
"Hi, Sarah. What are you doing here?"
Mr. Young asked in surprise.
"I'm looking for David," Sarah explained. "I saw a TV documentary about Shakespeare last night, and I want to tell him about some really interesting facts that I learned about him."
"Try looking in the library," Mr. Young suggested. "David likes spending time there when he isn't teaching."
Sarah thanked Mr. Young and walked into the library, where she saw David sitting at a table near a window. Sarah walked towards him, but when she got closer, she saw that he was correcting exams. He looked up at her and smiled.
"Hi, Sarah," he said. "Nice to see you. Did you want to tell me about your project?"
"Yes, but I see you're busy," said Sarah. "I'll talk to you tomorrow after the lesson."
"No, don't worry," replied David. "I can finish this later. Please sit down and tell me what you've found."
"I wanted to tell you about a really interesting documentary on Shakespeare that I saw on television last night," Sarah said. "It wasn't like a normal documentary because actors played the roles of Shakespeare and the rest of his theatre company."
"That sounds very interesting, Sarah. What did you learn about his theatre company?" David asked.
"Well, Shakespeare was in a professional theatre group," Sarah responded.
"Yes," interrupted David. "Weren't they called the Chamberlain's Men?"
"Correct," said Sarah. "And the documentary showed how they moved a complete theatre across London in one night."
"What?" David exclaimed incredulously. "How did they do that and why?"
"They had rented a theatre and the land where it stood for many years," explained Sarah. "The rental contract was ending, and they had to negotiate a new one with the owner of the property. His name was Giles Alleyne. Unfortunately, he was a Puritan."
"And do you understand why that was unfortunate?" asked David.
"Yes, the Puritans were very conservative, and they didn't like theatre," continued Sarah. "The negotiations went very badly. Mr. Alleyne even said that he was considering destroying the theatre and using the land for something better. Then someone in the Chamberlain's Men read the contract and discovered that they only rented the land, not the theatre. That meant that the theatre was their property. So, all the Chamberlain's Men, Shakespeare included, and several workers secretly dismantled the theatre one night and moved it. It's difficult to believe that such a thing was possible, but they did it."
"That's fascinating. I didn't know that," David said. "Where did they move it to?"
"They moved it across the River Thames to an area called Southwark," explained Sarah. "London was much smaller in those days, and Southwark was outside London, so Mr. Alleyne couldn't do anything to stop them from putting the theatre there. They reconstructed the theatre and reopened it 6 months later with a new name, the Globe."
"Well done, Sarah. You've really learned a lot," David said. "I'm sorry I didn't see that documentary. What channel was it on? And at what time?"
When Sarah told him, David looked confused.
"That's strange," he said. "My friend and I were watching a football match at that time on that same channel. It was a great match. We both enjoyed it. Perhaps the documentary was on another channel."
"That's impossible," Sarah said. "I'm sure that the documentary was on that channel."
"Well, there must be a logical explanation," David said. "But it's really strange. Anyway, It doesn't matter much now, does it? I'm just sorry that I didn't see an interesting program.
Although David tried to make it sound unimportant, their conflicting stories bothered Sarah. She was convinced that she was right about the time and channel, but unfortunately, she had no one to support her version.
There must be someone in the play who saw the documentary, Sarah thought as she went to that afternoon's rehearsal. After all, they're all interested in theatre. I'll ask everyone at the rehearsal until I find someone to confirm the channel that it was on. However, when she entered the school hall, she immediately forgot about this. The expression on Miss Kirk's face told her that something was terribly wrong.
"We've got a problem," Miss Kirk told Sarah. "Cheryl has broken her leg and won't be able to play the role of the nurse."
"That's terrible," said Sarah. "Cheryl must be very disappointed. How will we find someone to replace her?"
"I've thought of a solution," answered Miss Kirk. "Cheryl can become the stage manager, and you can play the nurse. You've been at every rehearsal, and you know the dialogue better than anyone else at school. And if Cheryl becomes stage manager, she won't be so disappointed, because she'll still be helping with the play. What do you think, Sarah?"
Although Sarah understood that it was a good idea, she had doubts. She remembered her humiliating experience at the audition and didn't think that she could do a good job as the nurse. Miss Kirk realized what Sarah was feeling.
"I know that you feel insecure about acting," she said. "Why don't you think about it tonight and tell me your decision tomorrow?"
"Okay," answered Sarah. She left the rehearsal knowing that she had a difficult decision to make. "I feel really honored that Miss Kurtz got confidence in me and thinks that I can do a good job," Sarah thought. "But what if I'm no good? What if people laugh at me? What if I become the school joke?"
She didn't know what to do.